We are so excited that this latest message from Truth Movement Church can meet you where you are today. This message from TMC will help you to apply the truth of God's word to your everyday life. It's practical and powerful. Enjoy his word.
I am truly excited today because we get to kick off a new series in this space. One person. Y'all can be such a hateful crowd at times. It just be so complex and difficult. We're kicking off this new teaching series, Distracted, and I'm gonna tell you. So what Portia says is true, and maybe you feel what I feel. I've been distracted all week. No. The enemy was so intentful this morning that I get up about 3 o'clock. I'm religiously about 3 o'clock. And I'm intentional about that space because I have to have that time. If I don't get that time, y'all don't want to know me. Like, I'm not a good dude and I don't get that time. And I'm up, doing my thing, preparing. And it seemed like, this is just what it felt like, every alarm in the house went off at like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And it just kept going off and kept going off. So now I'm down here trying to study and prepare what I gotta get for you. And the enemy is literally distracting me. I said, oh, devil, you're so slick. But how many know that if you can recognize a trick, you don't have to continue to fall for it? So after today, I'll take that back. Today won't be, this is the first installment, because, the first Sunday of a series is kind of a little, got to lay the groundwork. But once we finish this series, if you continue to fall for the distraction, that's on you. Look at your neighbor and shout, that's on you. I can promise you, some of y'all will not like Pastor Wanzel after we get done with this series. It's going to get real uncomfortable for a period of time. I promise you, God gave me this stuff a long time ago, but he releases me at times to just give it. Yeah. And it ain't going to be fun because it wasn't fun for me doing it. Yeah. No, really, it really was not fun for me. Like, I was struggling. Like, Lord, do you really want me to say this? Because now if I say it, they're going to hold me accountable for it. So if they see me do it. But I'm so ready for it. Y'all ready for it?
Yes.
Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 37, NIV. Did everybody have a good Easter? Yes. Yeah. Did y'all eat some good food and all that good stuff? Yes. Yeah. I got full and fell asleep. Like, I lasted all of 10 minutes. Luke 10, 37. Are you there? Yeah. We got most of y'all. I'll give you a couple more minutes. Luke 37. Annie, what's up? How you doing? You there? Yeah. Luke 10, 37? Yeah. I want everybody there. Put your eyes up here once you have it. Okay, good. Okay. Hurry up, Pastor Wanzel. You guys probably have a good one. Let's park there for a second. Many of us started off this year on a mission. We said that we were going to seek first the kingdom, Matthew 6, 33. And what we meant by that was that we were going to make God, we were going to make the kingdom the priority in our life. We were going to make God our single focus. We were going to make him our singular focus. He was going to be the thing that we began to focus on, and which is good, which is right, which is worthy, because his word says, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So what we were saying was, God, we're going to hold you at your word. We're going to focus on you and let you focus on all of this other stuff. We're going to have one singular focus. We're not going to have a fragmented focus. We're going to have one focus, and we're going to have that focus on you. We're better when we focus on one thing, and we're going to let you focus on the other things, because we know that we're more productive when we pay attention to just one thing. So, God, we're going to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto me. Lord, I want your math to happen in my life. I want your addition to happen in my life. And the way that that happens in my life is me focusing on you. And that is exactly what we said we were going to do at the beginning of the year. But if we're honest, look at your neighbor and shout, if we're honest. Just a few short months into 2024, our focus has been fragmented because somewhere along the way, over the course of these 3 months, we've gotten distracted. Well, Pastor Wanzel, how do you know that we've gotten distracted? I know that we've gotten distracted. I put myself in the boat along with all of us here who have been distracted. I know that we've gotten distracted because we have lost traction. Distraction will always cause you to lose traction. Distraction will always cause you to lose traction. I grew up in a lot of snow. Born and raised Syracuse, New York. And we always lead the country every year in accumulative snowfall. I think we average anywhere from, I believe it's 125 inches to 127 inches of snow during the winter months. And what I wanted to do today was to give you the sights and sounds from a winter day after a snowfall in Syracuse, New York. Let's look at this. What you just heard there and what you saw there, and I wanted to make sure that you could hear it and you could see it, but what you saw was the car making incremental progress, making insignificant progress, but exerting maximum energy. I'm going to say that again so you get it. It was making incremental progress. It was making insignificant progress, but it was bound up and it could not move the way that it desired to do because it did not have traction. That is what has happened. That is what's happening to many of us in the room today. We're on the right road. We're headed in the right direction. We're trying to make all of the right decisions, but it just feels like, Pastor Wanzel, I'm spinning my wheels, and I'm exerting maximum energy, and I'm getting very little results. And the reason why that's happening to you is because you have lost traction. And anytime you allow God, y'all, I could stay in this moment all day. Anytime you allow yourself to get distracted, you will lose traction. So one or two things happens when you lose traction. The first thing is burnout. Everybody shout burnout. Somebody shout burnout again. What'll happen once you lose traction, and I've seen it with my own two eyes, is that you will get stuck, and watch this, you will abandon the means. What happens after you start spinning your wheels for a period of time and you just continue to not make the progress that you believe that you need to make, you will get stuck and then you will abandon the means. What am I saying? I've witnessed people leave their fully functioning car on the street because they didn't have traction. Nothing was wrong with the car. Nothing was wrong with them. The only issue was they lost traction. Yeah. Yeah. They abandoned the means because they didn't have traction. How many people, look around the church right now today, how many people have abandoned the church, abandoned Jesus this year because they lost traction? Oh, They got distracted and they lost traction and then they abandoned the means. I've seen that happen too many times in my life. You'd be walking down the street and there would be a mound of snow, but up under there, there's a car that somebody left because they lost traction. And that is what people do when they come into a situation where, God, I think this thing was supposed to be working. I'm spinning my wheels and I'm not getting the results that I'm looking for. And they will abandon the means. The means being Jesus, the means being church, the means being God. They abandon and they get burned out because they got distracted and lost traction. These ain't even my points yet. The second thing that'll happen when you lose traction is spin out. Somebody shout spin out. If there's anybody here that has ever driven in snow, you know that it's very difficult to have control of a thing that does not have traction. There would be times where everything is going fine. I'm driving down the road, but I hit a patch of snow or I hit some black ice and I lose traction and then I spin out and lose control. And that is what happens to us when we lose traction in the spiritual. We will spin out of control. Listen to me, hear me on this. That is the reason why your emotions are all over the place. That is the reason why you feel like you're about to give up on life, because you're spinning out of control. And the reason why you're spinning out of control is because you've lost all traction. Look at your neighbor and shout, you lost your traction. And the way that you lose traction is by way of distraction. You do things by accident when you lose traction. I remember one day I was driving, and I have been driving in snow for all my life. And you know, I was driving down the street. I was going to a friend of mine's house, and I turned up a road that had not been plowed yet. You know, there was a lot more stuff that would potentially be distraction for me, you know what I mean, on the ground. And I was driving up the street, and as I was driving, I just lost control, and I ran into a pole. I could drive. I knew exactly what I was doing, but it's very difficult to control things when there's no traction. He said, well, Pastor Wanzel, why are we having this conversation today? Why is this so important? And here's what I have to tell you. The enemy has already started running his victory lap in your life. Because he knows that he doesn't have to lift a finger if you're distracted. You see, you're waiting for the enemy to cause destruction, and the enemy is just sitting back laughing because he says, listen to me, the enemy is not me. The enemy is in you because you continue to get distracted. You haven't noticed that your distractions are causing all kind of distractions in your life. Yes. So the enemy says, they think I'm doing something, but it's them. Mm. I'll put it to you like this to make it a little bit more plain. The enemy doesn't have to destroy you if you're distracted. Can I prove it to you? The enemy goes to God. He goes to God and he says, listen, I want to do something about this dude, Job. He's getting on my nerves. He's making me tired. I want to do something. And God says, you can't touch the man. You can't destroy him, but you can touch his stuff. So he starts to wreak all kinds of havoc on the stuff so that Job would get distracted. You see, the enemy wants your focus. Hear me on this. He wants your focus. He wants your focus to be fragmented. He does not want your focus to be seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. No, he wants you to try to focus on all of these things. And what I've learned is that trying to multitask is a lie. Because the mind can only focus on one thing at a time. You say, yeah, a computer can kind of multitask, but the mind of a human can't multitask and do multiple things at one time. So all I'm doing in my life is seeking first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, because God says, listen to me. If you focus on me, I'll focus on that. I'll focus on the bag. Let me handle that. I'll focus on finding you a spouse. Let me handle that. I'll focus on you becoming the best you. Let me handle that. Focus on me. So watch. I want to spend some time, real quick, dealing with one passage of scripture, or the only passage of scripture, where the word distraction is used. Let's go to the book of Luke. You should be there. Are you there? Luke 10:37. We'll get a couple points and I'll let you go. Are you getting anything?
Yes.
I'll read for you. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Listen to Jesus. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." Pause for a second. If you study those words just a little bit, he actually says distracted again. He says you are distracted by many things. Martha, this is just who you are, baby. You're distracted by many things. Verse 42, "but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better." Somebody shout better.
Better.
"Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." The first point that I want you to write down is this: distractions will undermine your intention. I think I said that right. You got that? Yeah. Distractions undermine your intention. Say that with me. Distractions.
Distractions.
Undermine.
Undermine.
Your intention.
Your intention.
I personally believe that Martha's intentions in the moment were good. I believe that she obviously understood the magnitude of the moment. She wanted to be a good host for Jesus. She wanted to make sure that she treated Jesus with the utmost respect, because he was a guest in her house. And all of those things were good. Her intentions were good. But verse 40 says that she was distracted. Her intentions were good, but she was distracted. In other words, Martha's intention was Jesus, but her attention was someplace else. Say that again. Martha's intention totally was Jesus. Her intention was Jesus, but her attention was someplace else. I got it on the screen for you. I'm going to say it. It doesn't matter what your intentions are if you don't give your attention to it. It does not matter what your intentions are if you do not give your attention, your attention to it. I'm going to let you write it down. It doesn't matter what your intentions are if you do not give your attention to it. So let's work it a bit. My intention to be a good husband doesn't matter if somebody else's wife is getting my attention. My intentions to lose weight don't matter if a half a dozen of Krispy Kremes is getting my attention. It does not matter that my intentions are to be my best version of myself. It does not matter if my attention is only given to you watching you on Instagram live your best life. It does not matter what your intentions are if your attention is not there. Hear me on this, and this is the way God gave it to me. Your intention and your attention has to be in a covenant agreement. My intention and my attention cannot leave each other. They can never be away from each other because I will miss it. Somebody shout, miss it. You will miss moments if you don't pay attention. It doesn't matter what your intentions are if your attention is not there. So here's the thing. Intentions are often verbalized. And you've made your intentions known, your intentions known. But your attention is saying something else. You see, there's a conflict within yourself because you're saying one thing, but your attention is saying another thing. And I don't think we oftentimes understand that. Well, I intended, you know what I'm tired of? The people say, God knows my heart. Don't say that to me. I'm just telling you right now, Pastor Wanza might fall out with you if you say that to me. God knows my heart. No, but he also knows your intentions. I might give my two little points away. Let me go. I want you to understand that there has to be a constant, hear me, y'all, a constant alignment between my intention and my attention, between my intention and my attention, and between my intention and my attention. Because if my attention goes away and it gets on something else, I will miss what I intended to do. Whoever wakes up, listen to me, y'all, just hear me out. Whoever wakes up and says, I want to be a bad parent. They intended to be the best parent possible. I wanted to parent you the right way, but my attention went someplace else. So we said, listen to what we said. Now, beginning of there, we taught on it. We talked about it. We just finished the series like 3 weeks ago, and we already off track. It was just 3 weeks ago, and we already forgot it. We said we're going to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto me. What were we saying? That my intention is going to be the kingdom. And I'm putting all my attention in the kingdom as well. But somewhere along the way, our intention is still the same, but our attention didn't catch the bus. No, just do me a favor. Look around the church. No, you're looking at me. Look around the church. There are some people at home who have really good intentions, but their attention is still at the house. Do you see what I'm saying? There has to be, and I want you to hear it this way, there has to be a covenant agreement between my intention and my attention. The two have to be lockstep all of my life. Listen to me. Oh, do you know, and I might talk about this in the upcoming weeks because I've been studying a lot of this stuff. Do you know all an expert is someone who pays very close attention to one thing? Go look at it. They pay very close attention. They put all of their focus in one thing. Well, check this out. How about you be an expert in being a good wife? Be an expert in being a good husband. Be an expert in being a good employee. Be an expert of being a model Christian. Be an expert. But the problem is we get distracted. And our attention walks away from our intention. I'm going to go back and listen to this one, y'all. I'm going to let this one rest on my spirit. Let's work. Let's get this next one. Listen, if you didn't write this down, I want you to have it. Your intention and your attention has to be in the same place at the same time. I'm going to give y'all Pastor Wanzo true story stuff. It happens to me a lot, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit that this happens to me so often. My wife does a really good job. She's so attentive to me. Almost too attentive at times because I can't get nothing by her. What's wrong with you? What you got going on? Like, I can't even come fresh off a thing before she hit me. How was it? What's going on? You good? But every morning, never fails, if she's awake when I leave, she's going to wake up and say, how was your study time? And sometimes I don't want to tell her because I woke up at 3:00 in the morning with the intention to do everything that God has called me to do. I get down on my knees and I'm praying for revelation. Lord, give me clarity. Let your words be my words. Let anointing flow from my mouth. Let anointing flow. I'm praying every single morning. I'm doing it. And I get up off my knees. I make my cup of coffee because this is my ritual. I make my cup of coffee because I don't like distractions. Here's another thing. I'm going to go off so we're going on a tangent a bit. Make sure that you've got good habits, because this doesn't work unless you got good habits. So listen to me. I put things in the same place every single day. And you can ask my family, when you touch something that I put there for my use, we got problems. Because I can't be looking for a charger when I got to study. I can't be looking for my coffee cup when I got to study. It's a distraction. You got to set yourself up for success. I'm helping somebody really good right now. You got to set yourself up for success. With all of my great effort, I got my coffee cup. And I got, listen, y'all, I buy the same creamer. I buy the same coffee. I make sure I use filtered water. I use the same cup. I have the same seat. I make sure everything is in its place and where it's supposed to be so that I don't have any distractions. I sit down after a really good prayer with God. Me and God was on one page. We were on one accord. I'll sit down and an email will pop up. So now, who is that? What do they want? I'll close that out. Done. Then, because, you know, I own a business and it starts pretty early, then they call me at 5 o'clock in the morning. Why are you calling me at 5 o'clock in the morning? Listen to me. Because the enemy wants you distracted. He knows that you are going to cause ruckus in the kingdom if you ever get focused. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. If he can just keep you on Instagram, if he can keep you on TikTok, if he can keep you on Netflix, he will make sure that he diverts you from your calling. But what I want you to understand, all it takes is making sure, listen to me, no attention, you got to come on along with me. I'm intending to do this. No attention, you got to come on. Somebody turn around and shout, come on. Somebody needs to tell their attention to come on. My intention is for the kingdom and my... I got stuff to do. I got things to accomplish. And my attention has to be with me. Not just my intentions, my attention. Yes, yes, yes. I got stuff to do. Playing with you. Come on here. Get in the car, boy. You ever said that to your kids? I'm not playing with you. Put them shoes on and get in the car. That is what you have to start saying to your attention. Put your shoes on. Get in the car. You know we got someone. You're going to make me late. Let's work. Let's go to verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Second point I want you to write down is this: distractions lead to unforeseen tension. Say that with me. Distractions lead to unforeseen tension. So now, what should have been a vibe, which should have been a momentous occasion and joy floating around the room, quickly turns into a very awkward moment. Martha is running around doing everything but what she intended to do because she got distracted. And now, watch this, she's mad at Mary and Jesus because Mary is giving attention to a thing that she only gave intention to. Let me say that again, because I could tell it missed you. She's now upset. She's all worked up. Because she walks into a situation where now Mary is giving attention to the thing that Martha only gave intention to. And now she's all upset. Let me explain. Watch this, y'all. Hear me on this. It does not feel good for someone to give attention to a thing that you only gave intention to. It does not feel good at all. Mary is upset because, Martha is upset because Mary is having the moment that she wished that she could have. And she walks into the room and says, Jesus, you're not going to do anything about her. And he turns to Martha and Martha and says, no. She giving me attention. You see, you only gave me intention, but she's giving me attention. And it's the attention part that produces more results. Have you ever gotten upset with somebody because they were giving attention to something that you only gave intention to?
Yeah. Yes.
Like I intended to do it. You ever? So I'll speak for myself. You ever intend to lose weight? And you go to a place where somebody hadn't seen you in a while and they say to you, oh, you've gained weight. Have you ever been there? Maybe keep living, you'll get there. I mean, it'll happen. But listen to me. It doesn't feel good when someone pays attention to what you give intention to. My intention is to make sure this kid grows up and is a model citizen. But when the school calls you and say, your child is causing an issue up here, I don't feel good because they just gave attention to the thing that you gave intention to. Listen to me. My intention and attention has to remain in a covenant relationship. Because if the two ever get off kilter, if they ever walk away from each other, I leave myself in a position where I got to have issue with people. Because, listen to me, Martha was upset because Mary was living the life that she wished she could live. She wanted to have that moment with Jesus. Believe me, she was doing all of this stuff so she could have the moment with Jesus. And she walks into the room and Mary's having a moment that she's working so hard for. And Jesus turns around, your intentions was good, but her attention is what got her the moment. Your attention is making you miss the moments that you wished you could have. Because we're so busy, we're so distracted with watching everybody else's life. Did you see what so-and-so posted today? Well, you know, we're paying attention to the wrong things, and that is what Jesus gets at with Martha. He says, baby, I'm not going to tell her to get up. I'm not going to tell her to move because she's giving her attention to the right thing. So check this out. The honest truth is this. Martha is upset with Jesus because Jesus didn't give her credit for her intention. Jesus would not give her credit for what she meant to do. Jesus didn't give her credit for what she set out to do. He only gives credit for what you actually do. I meant to fix it. I meant to. I meant to be a good husband. I meant to be a good wife. I meant to keep coming to church. Lord, see my heart. Lord, see my heart. You know my heart. He turns to mother and says, baby, I don't see none of that intention stuff. All I see is attention. And right now, Martha is getting what you desire to have because she's paying attention. This is what I wanted to tell you. Oh, I almost forgot. These people that you're watching on Instagram, who you wished you could be, they're not smarter than you. They're not better than you. They don't look better than you. They might not even have more resources than you. But you know the difference is? They're not distracted. You see, you're distracted by their life, but they're not watching yours. They're not watching your life, but you're watching theirs. And wishing that you could have the position that they have. But listen to me, Jesus is saying, if you would just pay attention, seek ye first the kingdom. All of these things. Gosh, y'all, he says all of this. Somebody shout all. All covers a lot. All of these things. I don't know what your all is in your life, but I got to feel all things that I would like to happen in my life. And I'm determined this year in 2024 to start paying attention.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm not going to let my intention, I'm going to stop patting myself on the back for my intention. Because it hurts when somebody pays attention to what you gave attention to. I deal with people all the time because I'm a pastor. I get to talk to people about their relationships and different things like that. And one of the most hurtful things that I can see happen in a relationship is one of the spouses gets a compliment on their job from a coworker that their spouse should have given them at home. Flick your hair, babe. Flick your hair. That mean I'm cute. Flick it one more time, babe. Flick it one more time. You see? So that means, babe, you cute. You see, our intention is to say it, but we don't give our intention to it. And when somebody pays attention to what you only gave intention to, it hurts your feelings. When you show up at work and then the coworkers are telling you how good of a man you are. Calm down, calm down. When the coworkers are telling you how great of a woman you are. Somebody's paying attention to what somebody else should be paying attention to. And when you hear that they took that comment or they took that compliment and it meant something to them, it hurt you. Because all you did was see, you saw it, you intended to say the words, but you didn't give it your attention. One of the things that I'm grateful for in my house, specifically for my wife, is because she's gonna say what it is. She is going to say how she feels, good, bad, or indifferent. You're going to get it either way. You're going to know exactly where she stands, and I can appreciate that because I don't have to guess what her intentions are because she's always attentive to it. It's a bad space where I have to guess what your intentions are with me. I'm talking relationship stuff right now. We can do a whole deal on this, just on just relationship stuff. She would always, she used to get on my nerves, really get on my nerves, really, like bad. We were dating at the time. She's better now because I do better. But she would say to me when we were dating, because she knew she was cute. She did, she knew she was cute. But I didn't say nothing. So after we would be chilling for a little while, she, you know, we'd be in the car together, she says, am I cute? I say, yeah, you cute. Well, why you ain't say nothing? My intention was to say something at some point.
You took it too long.
Listen to me. But that's what God is saying to us. You taking too long. My intention was to serve you, God. My intention was to give my life to you, but you taking too long. Your attention is someplace else. Let's get this last one. I'm going to get you out of here. Verse 41. It says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. Somebody shout better.
Better.
Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Last and final point for today is this. Distractions are a choice. Somebody shout, distractions,
distractions are
a choice. Martha comes to Jesus. She came in hot. A little bit disrespectful because she wanted Jesus to give her credit for what she intended to do. And Jesus effectively says to her, no, Martha, I can't do that because you made the wrong choice. Because if you keep reading, he says, Mary has made the right choice. So you chose to be distracted. Mary chose to be focused. And when this hit me, I promise you, I never looked at it this way. Distractions are a choice. We don't look at it that way, but here's the thing. When I say yes to a distraction, I'm saying no to something else. It is that simple. If I say yes to spending all of my time on Instagram, I'm saying no to building the relationships that truly matter in my life because I'm giving my time to this, and I chose to give my time to this, and I'm saying no to that. So Jesus says, no, I'm not going to tell her to move. No, I'm not going to tell her to change because she chose me over that. And I'm telling you today, you are going to have to start choosing Jesus over that. Because whatever you're caught up in right now, whatever bag you're trying to chase, whatever career you're trying to get yourself into, whatever changes you are trying to make is a distraction. Listen to me. I didn't even get to this stuff. I wish I had time to really deal with it. But distractions can be good, bad, or indifferent. They can be good, bad, or indifferent. They can just be anything. A distraction can be anything that takes you away from the subject.
Yes.
I got a definition for distraction. I want to go there. You got it up there? Oh, good. Look at your stick. Oh, it's good. Any object, good, bad, or indifferent, that directs one's attention away from something else. Go a little bit deeper. Y'all want to go deeper?
Yes.
To really understand the implications, and we've gone through a bunch, but to really understand the implications of distractions, you've got to dig back to the etymology of the word and understand that our English word distractions comes from the Latin language, and it is the word, put that word up, distrahere. It is the Latin word distrahere. So dis means apart, you see it up there, and then trahere means to drag or to draw away from. So listen to me, distractions are definitely set in your life. They are placed in your life, so it draws you away from the subject at hand. Whatever the focus is supposed to be, it is trying to draw you apart, pull you away from what you are focused on. That is what a distraction is. So a distraction can be good, bad, or indifferent. As long as it pulls you away from the subject. Can I go a little bit deeper? So now, the French came up with this torture, this way of torturing people that I thought was gruesome. I mean, this stuff that they did to the people was almost worse than what Romans did. But they had this one torture that they would do to people where they would tie a horse to each of your limbs. And then they would set the horses off and it would snatch you apart. Guess what it's called? Distraction. I got a picture of it. Put a picture up. No! Too graphic, Pastor Waza. That is what distraction does to you. It pulls you apart spiritually. It pulls you apart mentally. It pulls you apart emotionally. And we are allowing it to continually happen in our life without addressing the issue of distraction. And I'm here to tell you that if you want to live your best life, shout your best life.
Best life.
You got to get focused.
Yes.
You have to stop being distracted because it is pulling your life apart. I'll say that it is pulling your relationships apart. You don't have time for your mind to be stayed on Jesus because you're so distracted. It is pulling you apart. So Pastor Juan said, why do I feel all of this stress? I'm going to give you just a little peek into next week or the weeks to come. Pastor Juan said, why do I feel all of this stress? Why do I have this going on in my mind? Why don't I feel settled? Because in the background of your mind, in the background of your mind, everything that you distract yourself with, your mind is still processing it. You remember back in the day you had to defrag a computer? Who remembers that? Who's old enough to know what a defrag of a computer is? A defrag is where you tell the computer to put everything back in order. So what you would notice is that your computer would start slowing down. It would get bogged down. It would be harder for it to process information. And the first thing that the IT guy would ask, did you do a defrag? Did you put everything back in order? Did you clean out the stuff that you didn't need? And today is our defrag. Today is where we start to clear out all of the stuff that we don't need, all of the distractions that we don't need, all of the Instagram time that we don't need, all the TikTok time that we don't need, all of the Netflix time that we don't need. We got to start clearing those things out, because here's the thing. Our goal at the beginning of the year was to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness so that all of these things can be added unto me. What was I saying? That God, I'm going to stay solely focused on you and allow you to focus on all of this. Because when I put those things in your hand, they multiply. When I put those things at your hand, in your hand, they do better. So what I'm determining in myself right now, that I'm getting ready to rid of all of the distractions, whatever distraction may be, I'm getting rid of it. Because I'm seeking first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto me.
Thank you for streaming the latest message from Truth Movement Church. We pray that you found something in God's Word that you can deposit into your heart for future use. To stay connected with our ministry, like us on Facebook or Instagram, or learn more about us by visiting www.truthmovementchurch.org.